today I'm joined in the studio by Celine and The Strange. I've got Lydia and Sam joining me to talk all about the brand new debut single, Letter to Celine. It's the first ever release. Guys, thank you so much for coming in today to have a chat.
Hey, thanks for having us, Mitch.
No problem. It's great to have you in here. You're a fairly new band, forming earlier in 2025. So before we get into the song, I just want to ask about how you guys sort of came to be and where it all started for Celine and The Strange.
Yeah, do you want me to take that one?
I don't mind. Okay. It's kind of been a long journey, so feel free to go.
Sure. So I guess I've been floating around the Sydney music scene for a lot of other solo musicians, so I've been kind of roped in there. And then Sam's been doing their poetry work for since I knew them, and kind of like throw away, I was like, we should just do like a writing day together. And then a year passed since I said that. And Sam then came up to me and was like, you wanna actually do that?
We should actually put something in the calendar.
Yeah.
Finally.
We did. And then that was about a year ago from now. And every fortnight or so we started writing. And then it kind of came to the day where I was like, wait, hang on a sec. We actually have a set's worth of songs. So I pulled in some friends, Dylan from the UN Heart Band that I'm with, and other people from... Yeah.
The Stellas, Paris, and then some other friends.
None of the band had ever met before.
Oh, wow.
Before starting Celine, except me and Dylan. It was nice, though. And then, like, I think within a rehearsal or two, it really clicked. And I was like, wait, everyone is so lovely and gels. And I feel really lucky to have just had that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And when everyone is cohesively working together, just as friends, like, it makes it a more... Fruitful, creative environment, I feel. You guys seem like you're sort of the core songwriters, but what kind of dictated the sound of the band? Like, because it's got a bit of like a Fleetwood Mac sort of 90s feel to it, especially on this new single. What kind of steered you in that direction, Lydia?
So I feel like I've kind of got a preface is that I don't even know what to say about the next few we've got lined up, but they probably won't sound like this one at all.
Absolutely.
I grew up with a mother who was a diehard Kate Bush fan, probably since my age, and then a dad who filmed a lot of like live concerts and movies growing up. So I kind of always had that influence. And I guess more context is that, I always listened to that sort of music. And then Sam and I also met playing like fantasy D&D games, which
Sick.
Is crazy.
So
like
cool.
Crazy backstory.
Is that we spent so much of like our first like reconnecting after high school with like Ram and Jawadi Game of Thrones soundtrack, Light of the Seven, like medieval, doing voices and playing pretend. That
and
influenced
you can hear
a lot.
That. You can hear that now, and it's like something that I wouldn't have expected to stick that has.
Yeah.
So like the little things like our shared love of orchestral music. Yeah. That I'd love to incorporate more into the future.
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just any time you can work in strings, it's like the cherry on top.
I'm like, I don't have that much money, but please.
Anyone who free is available, get in touch. And also the name, I've always been curious about, like, who is Celine? And then is there any story behind that, or is it no story at all?
It's like a semi-story.
Kind of.
Do you want to go?
Yeah, well, when we started writing, we were like, oh, this might be a band one day. And we had a big list of really stupid band names.
Yeah.
And Lydia really liked Blank and the Blank. Like, we love Eliza and the Delusionals,
Teen
Jesus and the Gene Teasers.
Famously, everyone else was like, that's so, so stupid. And I was like, I think it's fun.
And then Lydia and I, when we were writing together, Lydia was like didn't want to be Lydia and the whatever. Didn't want to be like front woman in like Lydia and my band. It was like, no, it's everyone. So we wanted more of like an identity.
Yeah.
And then we were playing around with Blank and the Blanks. And then
this song came first.
Yeah. And then I wrote I came up with the concept for Letter to Celine when I was driving to work. And Celine is like the Roman goddess of the moon.
Yeah.
We're
okay.
both big mythology fans. And I was like, I like the idea of Celine as like the Roman goddess, the moon being this like image in this song. And then we were like, well, what about Celine and the Strangers was what it was at first, which is a D&D joke.
Yeah.
And then it became Celine and the Strange.
I said that to my mum and my girlfriend, and she was like, I hate that. They were like,
it sucks.
I I don't like it. I was like, thanks, guys. I love your trust.
It's a little bit ominous, like, who are the strangers?
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
the strange
yeah.
is more like afraid yeah. of a group of people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then they were like, why not just the strange? Like, why does it have to be the strangers? And I was like, wait a second.
And then it just You're clicked.
Right. And then it kind of went from there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's like yeah. the great way that, like, honestly, like, one of the hardest parts of being in a band is figuring out what you're going to call yourself.
Yeah. I know. It was because so intense.
Like, you're going to go through, like, the cringe meter of, like, I hate this. I hate yeah. this. It's better. It's better.
Do I want a joke name, or when's it going to become, like, this is a name people take you seriously with, but starts as a joke, but then, I don't
know.
Too
serious?
Too serious? Too intentional?
It's too much.
It's too much to think about. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's a solution to it. We can't just go by, like, serial numbers.
I can't stop thinking about the band that I haven't seen yet, but Michael Cera. I can't stop thinking about Michael Cera.
Awesome band name.
Yeah, awesome band name, and I kept seeing them on festival posters.
Just Michael Cera's here.
Da-na-na-na-na. Michael Cera. And brilliant.
Because Michael Cera is a musician, so it's like, is he there?
Has a band.
Is his band there?
Does he know about this at all?
Does he know about Wollongong band Michael Cera? Are they from Wollongong?
I think so.
Okay.
Either that or they just play a lot down there, but big fans of the band Michael Cera.
Love you guys.
Well, we're here to talk about your debut single, Letter to Celine, which you guys have been recording this year. Can you tell us a bit about what it was like recording and what the process was like for you guys putting this one together?
I have to go chronologically. I think that's how my brain works. Actually, I lied. I'm going reverse chronologically. You put us on to James.
I did.
James Krastowski, amazing producer.
He's fantastic.
He's amazing. I'd worked with him in 2021 and then just forgot. And I was like, wait a second. There's someone I know who's great, who has been recommended to us via their beautiful music, Memory Motel. And I kind of came to him with the demo that I'd been working on. I think it had been sitting on my computer for about like 9 months at this point.
Well, the lyrics were first done May last year.
Yes.
So the time from there to demo to recording, ages. Pregnancy term of the song.
Full nine months. She was exactly on time.
Yeah, exactly.
We did 3 days with him about a month ago, and it was... Yeah, it was quite affirming, actually, that I was like, okay, this isn't terrible. I'm not making terrible financial decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you want to hear it and be like, this is worth what I'm paying for. And it's a bit scary. Like, you trust the producer because they're a producer, but it's also like, I've never heard myself this high quality, high definition.
Yeah.
Do I suck or am I amazing? You know, you don't know.
Yeah. So I think I came into it being like, I hate this song. And then the first day with James, we messed around with the demo, kept some things, got rid of some things, and then I came out of it being like, okay, I like this song again. This is going to be a good song. I felt kind of affirmed by that because the band kept being like, this has got to be the first one. And I was like, okay, guys, fine. Like, whatever. maybe Sam might want to touch more on the initial writing experience that we sort of had.
Yeah, writing together has been really interesting because at least this song was like a couple months into when we had been writing together. Right. And it kind of started with me being like, here's a poem. Do you think we could put melody to it? I don't know how.
Maybe.
I was gonna be like, maybe. And like one of our songs, like anyway, is just that nothing changed.
Yeah.
Like words wise. But then I kind of started figuring out like how we write structurally together for music. And then this was one of the first songs where I sent it to Lydia that was like, hey, I think I wrote a song. It's not just a poem. It's
cool.
Like there's verses. It's not like stanzaic verse. It's just a song. It doesn't work as a poem.
Yeah.
And then we sat on it, and at first Lydia was like, I love it. This is such a good concept. I like the chorus just being this name. And then like a couple weeks into it, Lydia was like, I hate this song, actually. It's so annoying to try and get like the orchestrations of the composition right, and it sucks, and I don't want to touch it.
You see how temperamental I am.
And then, and then we jammed at it for a bit, and then you went away with the band, and then I got a message one night that was like, Sam, this is my favorite one to perform.
This is the best one.
This is the best one. And then it kind of came to this point in the band, like put so much good spice on it and made it so magic and so good.
Yeah.
And it just is so, I love it. It's way more than it was when I was like, what if we ripped off Fleetwood Mac? And what if, Lydia, what if I said this to you and the entire inspo playlist for it is just Fleetwood Mac songs?
Oh, yeah.
And then we were like, we have to stop listening to Fleetwood Mac so that way we don't rip it off.
There's some other things thrown in there.
Yeah. It's kind of nice though. Like everyone, I feel like everyone rips off someone else.
Yeah, 100%.
It never comes out the same way, and that's what makes it your own thing. But there's so many cool little like ear candy moments in this song. I was talking just before about like the percussive bass guitar parts at the start. Are these decisions, like, did you have that idea before going into studio, or are these things that come up like just ideas in the studio?
So a few things have carried over from the original demo, like full MIDI labs presets that stuck. And a lot of it, we started going live as a band, and James was awesome. He helped sort of rework the bass a little bit, because I keep writing bass parts like keys parts as a habit. So he made it a real bass part. And the big difference between how we play it live and how we play, how it is in the track now, is we usually have this like call and response guitar keys part. And underneath that in the demo, I had these like kind of medieval, like plucked, I think it was a mandolin or like some, like it was like a Chinese instrument on labs. And I was like, that sounds sick, I'll take it. And so like I immediately showed James that part, and he was like, yeah, this is the star. Why are we putting other things on top of it? Like,
let this moment shine.
Yeah, yeah. And I was a big fan of Aurora's recent album. It's the blue one with the cover, but she has a song, A Soul with No King, where they just have these like amazing, like kind of older sounding string instruments. Mm. I love that. I think it's beautiful. That sort of carried over. And yeah, we kept a lot of the drums. Geordie crushed it live. It sounds a lot nicer.
He's just so good.
Yeah, he's awesome. Sounds a lot better than MIDI. But yeah, some things have stayed. Other things, it was awesome to feel James's input.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good when a producer as well can kind of chime in as like an extra part of the band.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like from a third, because, you know, like you can kind of get sick of the songs that you make, and you can get so like tunnel vision on like, I only listen to like this opinion because I'm the only one that knows this song properly.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's good to see that like it being in the studio pays off, and it gives you like new life to a song that you might be really tired of.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a bit tired walking in. It had been many sessions.
Which is such a natural thing for everyone who's recording music, because, you know, it's like sometimes bands will like have these songs that they wrote like 3 months ago, and some people will sit on stuff for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the sitting on it for years like could be really satisfying, but also really like,
exactly,
oh my God, I'm ready to move on.
Exactly.
You just want to make new stuff all the time.
This song didn't really click the first time. I started with these like vocals and these harmony parts when Sam first showed me the lyrics they had. And I was like, oh, there's easily a call and response. I loved it. And then the instrumentation, I just could not figure out how to start it in a catchy way. And I think I listened to Big Love by Fleetwood Mac, and I really liked the toms. They had this like boom, boom, bop, bop.
Yeah.
Which have actually been quite similar to the track.
And we put it down for ages. We kept trying to come back to it for like months, and then we were like, no. We have to move on. We have to move on.
And I can't play drums. So it was kind of just a bit of a learning curve of how does this work?
Yeah.
And actually, it's really fun though to figure that out as you go.
Yeah.
And it gives you it's almost like you have the fresh eyes coming into an instrument.
Totally, yeah. Because like you just won't make decisions that a normal drummer would because you don't know.
Sorry, Geordie.
Oh no, I feel bad for like any drummer who has to take instructions from non-drummers. Yeah. And they'd be like, "Doo-ga-da-doo-ga-da-da." What does that mean?
It's like a boom-ka. Actually, I have a really great recording I sent to Dylan on the demo, which was just me going like, "Bow, bow, bow."
I remember recording that in your room.
He's like, "I get it," and I'm like, "Do you?"
Really? I don't get how they understand it.
I
don't
so understand seen. It.
Well, you guys have started the year really strong. You've been playing loads of gigs, and you've got more coming up. Later in July, you're playing on the 26th, I believe, with Tomorrow's Forecast, and maybe in May, which is really exciting. You've been playing a lot of shows around Sydney at lots of venues. Are there any like venues either in Australia or anywhere that are like bucket list venues to play for you?
Ooh.
I really want to do Pleasure Club.
You really want to do Pleasure Club?
I really want to do Pleasure Club or Vanguard.
I think that would be awesome at Pleasure Club.
We have some ideas that we want to maybe do.
Yeah.
That,
upcoming
releases maybe. That would be the vibe for. But that's my...
Otherwise...
It's my dream.
I'm like a Cockatoo Island fan.
I'd love to do
something on Cockatoo Island.
That's such a cool setup there.
Yeah. The times I've played outdoors like as well. Even just, I don't know, the shows on the hill are kind of fun.
Mm.
Like a... nights and lights sort of moment.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I do miss playing outside. It's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully we can see more of it soon. You've mentioned that there's some more songs in the works, so you've got more gigs planned, more songs in the works. Anything big that you guys are working towards down the road, or is it all hush and keep right now?
Nah, we've got... Well, what we could sort of figure out is we're doing Fringe this year with... So Sam and I, another way we both met is we are... like aerialists, like
cool,
Suckus.
Like Ariel Silks, Ariel Hoon.
Lyra.
Yeah, that's our
the one that Zendaya does in The Greatest Showman, which is how I explain it for people who don't know what Lyra is.
Yeah, they're like, is that that fabric thing?
I'm like, no, you saw Zendaya in The Greatest Showman? It's that one. It's
the hoop. So a bunch of our circus friends approached us now, like, yo, we should do a collab show, and we'll perform
aerials
to your set. So we're hopefully gonna be. We're still locking in the venue, but I think it might be in the tent at Fringe, which would be awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so it's like 6 stage, a lot of room to move, and there'll be about 6 acrobats. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fleshing that out for hopefully October.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, make sure to go check out A Letter to Celine, new single from Celine and the Strange. You can check it out wherever you stream your music. We'll have links up on the 2SER website, and give them a follow to see what's going on with more gigs and singles. Lydia and Sam, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Into yourself, it's so charming.